Anyone who's ever moved into an old house is keenly aware of the past owners, whether through an odd possession or smells they might have left behind or the rundown condition of the house. When environmental artist and sculptor David Ireland moved into his 100-year-old San Francisco Victorian, he noticed that the choices he made during his restoration were the same kinds of choices he made in his art. Ireland creates installations and sculptures from commonplace objects and everyday materials, and a house is filled with these. I asked David Ireland what someone would see if they walked into his now-preserved home.
They could see a house that was badly in need of restoration because I have left it pretty much the way it was. The only thing different that they'll see, and it's quite dominant, is that I've urethaned the walls, and I did that over 10 years ago. I covered all of those interior surfaces with several layers of polyurethane, so it's very reflective. And the urethane was not necessarily to deal with that sort of thing, but really to symbolize stabilizing some information. Just as a scientist might put something in acrylic or put it between in a glass slide for further look under a microscope.
So the walls of the house, the floors of the house, the tin stamp ceilings are all now preserved for another 100 years.
Right.
In this sort of form with cracks and whatnot.
It's all there, visible? All cracks, all of the cracks and the alterations, as I mentioned before, there, the earthquake cracks. Cracks from settling, whatever it is. There's stains in the ceiling from leaks in the roof and from wallpaper paste, and there's different marks that were left from the picture rail, for example, that I took off.
Calling you a sculptor is probably not always an accurate description. Sometimes you've been referred to as an archaeologist, somebody who goes through an old house and recovers what's there, makes choices about what to keep and what to refurbish, what to revivify. Often you'll take materials like concrete and copper and put them together to make a lamp in a way that somebody hasn't thought of before. Where did this sort of impulse come from? Do you know anything about it?
It comes from idea, and it comes from a response to materials. Then the specific things you're talking about are based on both of those things. One is I'm interested in materials simply stated, not manipulated so heavily as they are in so many artworks. You know, sometimes the materialist dominates in a media, tyrannical media way. I like to see materials just presented, let's say, without being manipulated if possible.
Do you go out hunting for materials, or do you just find what you can and heft them? And what are some of the more interesting materials that you've held in your hand that you've really been surprised at that maybe you initially thought wouldn't have any possibilities as a objet d'art, as a sculpture, as a thing?
Oh, I don't, you know, make a point of going out looking for materials necessarily. I have some places that I go to when I'm, you know, needing things that I'm thinking about, but lots of things find me as well.
Like what? For
well, you know, you there are some things that one looks at, and they never occur to them that they may be useful. And you know, it may be seen, let's say, as an artwork or art object or part of, and it just means that at the moment that you're, you know, it just takes a certain moment for you to be in sync with that particular material or object.
Well, for instance, in your 500 Cap Street house, there are 18 brooms.
Right.
In a circle.
Right.
Kind of dancing all around. Were these all brooms that you found at the house?
They were, yeah.
And how did you decide to shape them that way?
Well, the brooms maybe are a good way to explain this thing of maybe something that one doesn't see as an artwork. Certainly, it's a broom, and it's necessary to sweep the floor. You have to use a broom. However, when you start to go into someone's home and you find that there's a broom literally in every corner of the house, and you end up with these 18 brooms or whatever the number is, you start to say this reflects something. and it reflects some observation on a social system, if I choose to go into it that way, which I did. I said, you know, these brooms are time, represent time. Each broom worn down to its point where it's no longer usable and making it necessary for the person to buy another broom, it becomes a unit of time. So I've gathered these brooms in this sort of circular configuration that you're talking about, and they sit right on the broom straw themselves. They're not embellished anyway. They're just sort of like a clock that's a circular in motion. And so you could say that this social system represents 12, 18 years of time, because let's say a broom wears out every year and you buy another one. The man that I bought the house from was extremely penurious, and he never threw anything away. So he saved every bit of string that ever came into his life and every rubber band that ever came to him and every broom. And I came along and said, well, you know, these are significant as examples of social systems.
And then you have documented them in this way.
Yeah, and so that's what I said. By sometimes, you know, you can look at a collection of rubber bands and it means nothing to you, and then you put it in context of some ideas that you have, and they start to have some expression for you.
Like the rubber bands represent the daily ceremony of opening the paper.
Sure, precisely. That's a very good example. And, you know, you asked me also about other materials. Now, who would ever be interested in the wallpaper that I stripped from the wall? But, you know, and literally there were bags and bags of wet and rather smelly wallpaper, and I decided to save some of that. So I put some in jars, and I formed some into snowballs, you know.
Did you find anything today that you might use?
I'll have to confess that I wasn't turned on today. I just returned from Spokane, so.
What was the most recent material that you came across then?
Oh my! This is I tell you what. I installed a show in Santa Cruz last weekend, and I was. I purposely made some spots on the wall that were achieved by sanding through the gallery, painted gallery surface, until I was able to come up with a hazy sort of image. It was merely a matter of taking a sanding machine and just a vibrator sander and just sanding a spot on the wall. And I did 8 of these, and I took some abstractions out of a diary, a travel diary of mine, actually almost a non-existent but a recalled diary, and labeled these spots to somehow work with this idea and notion that image is better created in the mind rather than to be visually complete, so that, you know, you deny that the viewer ability to let the imagination build the image. It's like something that's really quite finite when you see a iconic representation of something. You know, your imagination is, and your experience of it is very limited. So if I don't put the literal image out there, then there's a greater opportunity to activate your imagination.
When you walk into a room, is one of the thoughts that occur to you while you're standing around, perhaps talking to people, what you could do with the space?
Well, that's ideally, if you say you're invited to a space, maybe to do something, you.
But say you visit a friend's house, or.
I know. I let my friends be. Yeah, I don't impose anything on them or try to tell them what they might do, because my friends are for the most part very capable people in so many different ways, and I like the fact that we're not all the same.